Welcome to Creating Flow, the podcast where I, Joni Francisco, hope to empower women, helpers, and healers to unblock their energy and unlock their power. We're tackling the tough reality that many in the healing professions often sacrifice their well-being in the pursuit of helping others. Not only do I believe this is just plain wrong, it ends up draining their vitality and diminishing their ability to serve. I've experienced this firsthand, and I have emerged with the insights and strategies to break this cycle. That's why each week, we explore practical methods not only to replenish your energy, but to also cultivate abundance in your life. You'll gain actionable steps to fill your cup first, ensuring you can overflow with energy and serve others well without burning out. Do you feel lonely despite knowing a ton of people? Have you joined groups just to feel connected? Then this episode might be for you. Carly Myers is a leading stress management expert and founder of the Stressless Company. And we sit down today to talk about building positive relationships and healthier relationships that feel more connected. Carly is known to empower leaders to achieve peak performance, leveraging her credentials as a diplomat of the American Institute of Stress and certified Safe Conversations leader. Carly crafts personalized strategies that help leaders not just manage stress, but thrive. Clients experience a domino effect of positive outcomes, including improved sleep, increased productivity, and more fulfilling personal lives. Carly's impactful work has been featured on prominent media outlets like Parade and Fox 29. During this episode, we bring you some tangible strategies to build healthier relationships. And in these relationships, Carly believes that having a zero negativity, or at least striving for zero negativity, and building your relationship bank with positive affirmations. But before we get going on to the episode, if you like you here today, then I would highly suggest joining the Abundance and Flow community on School. Not only are there free, awesome AF trainings in there, we are building a community of other helpers and healers ready to have more abundance and flow in their lives. Let's journey together towards freedom in life, health, and business. The link to join is in the show notes, and I hope to see you there. Hi, Carly. So excited to have you on the show today and hear what you have to say about building healthy relationships. And we're just going to jump right in and start to answer questions. So the first question I was really contemplating is that idea of what does it mean to have a healthy relationship?
Oh my gosh, what does it mean to have a healthy relationship? It's such a good question and such a nuanced question. I think that so many people want us to have this like very specific definition. And yet what a healthy relationship looks like really depends on the relationship. But what I can say is that maybe there are some measurables for a healthy relationship. This is a relationship that there is psychological safety. This is a relationship where our physiological response to the other person isn't that fight, flight, freeze, or faint, right? A healthy relationship can look like many different things, but at the end of the day, we can really tell if it's healthy for us by our physical reaction to being with the other person.
Well, I love that. As you've heard me speak and others on my show, like, it really is that what's happening in our body is like the teller of the truth, right? And so that's a great way, I think, to explain how a healthy relationship feels. The one other thing that kind of hit me with that was maybe like a piece of satisfaction, but is that, how does that relate to how like the body would function?
Yeah, satisfaction, the sense of fulfillment. I think a healthy relationship does provide that. And it's not that the body can't get excited or have butterflies or the jitters or any of those like things that we hear about. But I think, yeah, healthy relationship. Here's what I can say. One of the things that I talk about in terms of relationships is that each relationship has sort of unspoken, ideally spoken, rules of play, requirements for membership in the relationship. And so one of the ways that we can look at whether or not a relationship is healthy is whether or not it's meeting the requirement of the relationship. So for instance, in a professional employer-employee relationship, maybe the only requirement for membership is the desire and willingness to move the mission forward of the organization, right? And so we know if that relationship is unhealthy when one party or both parties I've lost sight of the mission and the willingness to move that mission forward in an organization, or in fact, are doing the complete opposite. They're trying to sabotage the mission. Then we can say, okay, this singular requirement for membership, this singular rule of play isn't being followed anymore by either party. And so it's no longer healthy. It's no longer productive for the relationship. That makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And I love that you brought that into, you know, a work kind of setting, because I really do like that idea of where we are in one place, where we are in lots of places, always comes to mind for me. But also, I think it's important to note that when we talk about relationships, we're not just talking about romantic relationships, right? We're talking about friendships. We're talking about co-working situations. We're talking about the person at the post office, right? Like, we're talking about all relationships and how we interact with people, how we relate to people.
Relationships are everywhere we look,
right? I mean, and we even have relationships, you know, with not people too, like with ourselves, we're people, but the internal relationship, but also many people have relationship with source, right? And so, or our dogs, or, you know, whatever, it's all energy, right? And so it's all relate. We're all relating to them in different ways. Yeah. And so what are some of the things that you see when you're working with clients, or just in general, when you're spectating, because I'm sure you do that too, of what people are feeling when their relationships aren't healthy?
Yeah. So what happens is we experience a sense of anxiety or frustration or anger. There's many emotions that can come up, but what happens when we're in unhealthy situations is that what we find is this, our defenses go online. So one of the things that I've learned through my work using Safe Conversations, which is something I'm certified in, is that the number one reason that people fight is actually objection to difference. And so that I see all of the time in unhealthy relationships is this continual objection to difference and this inability to bridge the gap. And what can happen is, you know, and by the way, that makes sense, because our brains are wired to view difference as dangerous. And so it's, difference is scary for our subconscious, for many of us. And the thing that happens is when objection to difference comes into the relationship, what then happens almost unconsciously, because again, we're viewing it as dangerous, is that then we bring the number one cause of disconnection into the relationship, which is negativity. And so this I see all of the time. This is rampant in unhealthy relationships, is negativity. Anything, and by the way, negativity is anything that can be experienced as a put down. So it could be tone of voice, it could be your words, it could be your body language, an eye roll, it could be a direct insult, it could be a lot of things. But negativity is really defined as anything that could be experienced as a put down. So, and by the way, the receiver of that put down or of that negativity is the judge of whether or not is negative. It is negative. The receiver is the judge. And so that's something that I see really commonly, like across the board. You could probably even be hard to find a unhealthy relationship that doesn't have negativity running rampant in it.
Yeah. And so when you talk about that objection of difference, can you explain that a little bit more to listeners? They might not be familiar with that term.
Yeah. So objection to difference, it could be as simple as how to unload or load a dishwasher, right? And so one party might say, well, you must rinse the dishes before you put them in the dishwasher. And the other party may say, no, that's what the dishwasher is for. And there is a clashing, right? So the objection is like, rather than accepting that some people load the dishwasher one way and another person loads it another way, we object to that difference and create conflict surrounding that. Now, that doesn't mean we can't come to compromise. It doesn't mean we can't come to solution. But it's this sort of like, the way that I often see it is this like righteousness of experience that I'm right. Or objection to difference is, it can show up in so many different ways. There's this I'm right, but this is also, there's also this fear, discomfort, nervousness about the other perspective that someone else might hold if it's different than ours.
Yeah, that brings up that idea of how the subconscious, you know, it really wants to prove us right all the time. And it's like, by default, it's not our fault that we are wired that way, right? But we have a choice. But it does want to keep, like, it is always trying to prove us right as a default. And so that doesn't allow a lot of interpretation for other people's, you know, the way they do it, unless we're open to seeing things a different way. So I love that. And I love that piece about righteousness because, you know, the work I do with energy healing and working on the subconscious, it's really that's like really a piece of ego, right? Instead of heart. And it's like, does it matter how the dishwasher gets loaded if the dishes come out clean, right? And I love that you chose that example because I'm just sitting here thinking about my personal, like, my husband does a great job. He's very, like, way more detailed oriented on stuff like that than me. But my teenagers, sometimes they're just throwing stuff in there. It's not coming out clean, right? So in that respect, I can see that a redirect, like, look at the proof, right? But it's also, like, the ability to see that as, like, from a place of love instead of a place like you're wrong.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting too, like in just the story that you shared, is there's this qualifier of like, as long as the dishes come out clean. And so like, right? And so what I talk and work with people on is, especially when we're dealing with negativity and objection to difference, is that it's not that we can't have our grievances or express our grievances or our frustrations. We absolutely can. But it's how we express them that's really important. And so like, I love that this resonated for the teenagers in your home. But there's this idea that this like pre-wiring that we have to say, don't do this. I don't want that. And there's this like in the negative, like the don't, the no, the, you know, this is what I don't want. And we often focus on what it is that we don't want instead of what it is that we do want. And so like your example is really great in that you unconsciously shared what you do want, which is that you want the dishes to come out of the dishwasher clean. And so one of the, you know, like foundations of healthy communication is it can often be steering away from saying like, this isn't what I like, steering away from saying the negatives or the I don'ts or don't do this or don't do that. And steering toward that, this is the outcome that I want. How can we, and getting open and curious, how can we achieve that outcome? Maybe we're missing something here, that maybe it's not about how the dishwasher is loaded. Maybe there's another solution to get the outcome that we all want.
Yeah, I love that intention. And that really makes me feel like you're being really present with the situation too, not just running through life, right? Like being very present with what it is that is the outcome, not that they're doing something wrong or I'm doing something wrong. It really is, how do we work towards that? Like, you called it a mission, right? Like, we could even just say that, to beat the dishwasher analogy to death, but, you know, like, it could be our mission that we want clean dishes to eat off, right? And how, and just reframing it that way makes it a lot more open for everybody to have input, but also feel safe.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And I've heard this, you know, said in a variety of different ways. Like, I've heard folks say, like, it's not you against me, it's us against the problem. And like, in many cases, that's true. Like, it's us against the dirty dishes, like, or it's us against, you know, whatever issue is arising in the relationship, because ultimately it is, you know, whatever is causing a rupture in connection, whatever difference is causing a rupture in connection. It's that difference that we want to get open and curious about so that we can reconnect.
And I also thought, just interesting, and maybe you can expand on this a little more, is the idea of the other person's perception of the negativity and how that relates to us. You know, like, I always say we're responsible to other people, not for other people, right? We're not responsible for the way they react. Doesn't mean we get to be jerks, right? So like, if you're to kind of sum up how those interact together, like, you still take 100% responsibility for yourself. They take 100% responsibility for their reaction, their feelings, but it's their job to be the person that gauges whether it was negative or not. So I'd love just a little more expansion on that piece.
Yeah. So it's really one of the things that we recommend in Safe Conversations is that whomever you're in relationship with, could be family member, could be, maybe you have a team, whatever, that you go ahead and identify a signal word that you can use whenever negativity comes up. Like, wow, oops, ouch, marshmallow, watermelon, like whatever you want the word to be. And so that gives us a safe way to indicate, okay, something's gone off. And then, yeah, so it's really up to the receiver. There's responsibilities on both ends. The first responsibility is to the sender. And that is really about sharing, hey, this is what I, having that awareness, that self-awareness, that to say, this is what I really want, to do our best, to have a safe conversation, which, by the way, there's a process that I actually teach that helps folks folks with this, but there's that sender responsibility. And then you have the receiver responsibility, which is to say, whoop, marshmallow, would you mind saying that again, but with a twinkle in your eye, right? Could you try saying that in a different way, or modeling how you would like to receive that? Because otherwise, sometimes we as the senders, we don't know. We don't know that thing we just said or did would be negative because we didn't grow up and we didn't have the same life experiences in the same way that the receiver did.
Yeah. I can see that. That's, yeah, sounds like a great way to communicate and dialogue, you know, the things that are upsetting, or dare we say the word triggering, but, you know, in a way that is safe for both people to adjust to it and maybe make a different, you know, a different option of choice of words. Yeah. So we've kind of talked about, you know, some examples of what not to do, just kidding, but really in some of the ways that unhealthy relationships, unhealthy communication can kind of look. So if someone, you know, wants to be intentional with this and try to work toward healthier relationships, again, across the board, it's not just romantic relationships. It could be with your kids, it could be with coworkers. What are some things that get to open up for people if they do practice this way of cultivating healthier relationships in their life and in their business?
Yeah. Well, first I would say you were talking about what not to do. And the flip side of that coin is we're going to strive for zero negativity. So if we strive for zero negativity, infusing our relationship with the good stuff, whatever that means, then what we're going to be able to experience is connection, this sense of full aliveness, this sense of curiosity. You mentioned fulfillment. There's this like infinite potential that our relationships create for us. Our relationships, like we were saying earlier in the interview, they are everywhere we look, everywhere we look. And so naturally, having healthier relationships, being able to communicate about the tough stuff and the good stuff, enables us to feel more fulfilled in our marriages and our romantic relationships, our families, to stay closer in a healthy way, have that connection. But even beyond that, we've got our friendships. We're able to build lifelong connected friendships. And in our businesses and our careers, relationships, you know, one of the things that I tell folks all the time, especially when I talk about relationships in the professional setting, is I ask them, I say, where is the money in your business or in your company coming from? Where is your paycheck coming from? And the answer is that it's always coming from another person. And so if we're looking to experience more fulfillment in our relationships, of course, we want to have healthy relationships. We want to learn how to communicate. But also if we want to create more abundance in our world, then healthy relationships are a foundational place to start.
Yeah, that peace connection, I think it's really super important. I find with my clients, I work with other helpers and healers, and you work with other people in business as well, and or some sort of work situations, right? Mostly. And is they know a lot of people. They have a lot of, I almost said connections, but I mean, they know a lot of people. They have a lot of interaction with a lot of people, but they're still feeling like something's missing or they're lonely. And a lot of, you know, I find that to be really threefold in the people I work with. It's really with their self, with others, and with source, right? But that piece of, you know, you can have a million people on your email list and you still feel lonely, right? Because we're not taking the time, the intentional time, to foster these healthy relationships with the people that can help us have that safety, that joy, that satisfaction and connection, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting. We hear about this all the time, or at least I should say I hear about this all the time in the work that I do, which is that the loneliness epidemic. To be in, let's say, a big city, a hustling and bustling city where thousands of people are walking past you on the street, hundreds of people, thousands maybe if you're sitting in the coffee shop for a while, but and yet still feeling lonely and disconnected, being surrounded by people, being more connected than ever on social media, and yet feeling lonely. And that speaks to, or anxious, it speaks to the quality of our relationships. And oftentimes that, you know, that loneliness, that disconnection is the result of negativity. That anxiety is the result of negativity, whether it's past negativity showing up in our present experience, or if it's present. And so, you know, this is why I argue that nurturing healthy relationships, it's a game changer, because not only is it about the relationships we have now, but many of my clients and myself included have found that when I create healthy relationships in my present, there's something in me, there's something within me that heals just a little bit by little bit, surrounding the relationships that weren't. Right.
Yeah. And kind of two things there is also, we talked about the external negativity, right? But really probably what's limiting many of us is our internal negativity also spurring our external negativity towards others because of something we're feeling inside of us or something we're thinking inside of us. So this idea of zero negativity, it's going to also apply to what's in your brain about yourself and about what the external situations, even when there's not, you know, another person involved in the conversation, when it's all just happening in your head.
Well, yeah, it's I find them to be so like incredibly intertwined, right? Because so many of us, we can hear the voices in our head. And if we stop and think about it, we can remember that inner voice that's so critical of us is actually a voice that we took from someone else that was from outside of us. And so, yeah, this when we're talking about like a negativity detox, if you will, like, yeah, it has to start with what we're putting out into the world and what we're receiving, having that back and forth with our relationships, but also, yeah, having some grace and some kindness for ourselves as much as we can.
Yeah, I totally agree. And the other piece of that I really wanted to bring in is that idea of vibration, right? Like everything really is vibration. So if you get a little bit of connection, a little bit of satisfaction, and as you were saying, that leads to a little bit of healing inside, but it also increases your, like changes your vibration to be more open to accepting that feeling. And so you're more likely to then receive it as well, more and more of it, as the more and more you become in tune, or you're actually feeling that inside of you. So when we're looking to get out of that loneliness, we need to start to find those places, those connections that do bring us something different than loneliness, right? And I'm sure because you have lots of strategies, but if you just had maybe one to three things that are super important for people to that they could just start doing on their own that you see makes a big improvement for them, if you just want to go into that a little bit now.
Yeah. So first things first is setting a standard for yourself, an expectation of yourself that you strive for zero negativity as much as possible. I actually have a freebie that folks can download. That's a 30-day path to zero negativity. It's put together by Safe Conversations and it guides folks through. So that's a great place to start, having that expectation of yourself, making that commitment to strive for zero negativity. The second thing that I would recommend is infusing your relationships with affirmations or words of appreciation. And the reasoning behind this, if I could take a minute to explain, is if we can think about our relationships as if it were a piggy bank or a bank account, we want every time we express an appreciation, we share that affirmation, we make a deposit into that bank account. And so, and it could be, you know, humor, it could be a variety of things, but I think words of affirmation or appreciation are a really great place to start. We're making a deposit into that bank account. Now, every time we experience negativity or we send out negativity, we are making a withdrawal from that same account. Now, each relationship we have has an account, okay? And so we want to make those appreciations because we want to have a healthy relational bank account, if you will. But here's the catch. According to a study put together by Harvard, don't quote me on the exact number here, but I believe it's 12 positive interactions we must have in a relationship in order to make up for one singular negative interaction on average. And so, okay, we want to stop making the withdrawals from the relational bank account because we don't want to take out 12 and then only put in one, right? So we want to stop with negativity as much as we can. We want to make those deposits with words of appreciation so that we're not going into a bankruptcy of a relationship, right? Our relationship is filled with the good stuff, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. I'd written that down. I always forget the number too, that I was like, I said 5, but it's probably 12. But about that idea.
We'll Google it later.
Yeah, here nor there. It is not equal. Right. The negative takes a lot of positives to counteract what happened in the negative space. And so it's just a reminder. I try to remind myself constantly. I mean, I'm not awesome at zero negativity all the time either, but with my kids especially, right? Like when there's something that happens and trying to re-put that back into the piggy bank after whatever said episode, right? Because that really struck me the first time I heard it too. I was like, wow, it's not just one for one kind of a transaction here.
Yeah. And even better to like to do our best to fill the relationship with the good stuff ahead of time, right? Because then there's something to withdraw. Not that we want to, but like I said, we really want to strive for zero negativity. I chose that language on purpose because I know that we're only human, right? And we are wired to see the negative. And if we want to have healthy relationships, we have to be conscious that to have them, there's an investment.
Yeah, for sure. So we have the, you know, the first strategy you kind of mentioned is, well, you didn't kind of mention it. You strongly mentioned the zero, striving for zero negativity. And then the other one is to infuse the relationships with those positive affirmations. Is there any other DIY things that you wanted to bring up right now? Or
no, I would say, I would say those two. Simple and straightforward. Strive for zero negativity and use those appreciations as much as you can.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I will always love to open up for our listeners too. So we have these do-it-yourself strategies, as we know, you know, we can get to a certain change in our life with that. But often we need the reflection, you know, of a coach or an expert in that area. And so what are some things on relationships that as a coach, and you can rephrase that to how what you want to, like how you identify, can help people in a professional way, you know, versus just do it yourself?
Yeah. So I think I know relationships are incredibly nuanced. And so while these are a really great place to start, one of the things that I provide is I actually educate and teach people how to have a safe conversation. So what happens when we have something really, really difficult that needs to be discussed? What happens when something hits the fan? What happens when your best friend is grieving and you have no idea what to say? What happens if? In relationships, we can find ourselves in so many different situations and they are incredibly nuanced. And so a lot of times we say, yeah, I really don't know what to do. We're at a loss for words. And so having someone by your side to, one, teach you the skills through like a safe conversations workshop, which is something that I teach, or to coach you through a challenging relationship dynamic to create the best outcome, to see the bird's eye view, can be incredibly useful. Especially, I think this goes for coaching in general, but you know, oftentimes we don't know what we don't know. We can't see what we can't see. And so having that outside perspective can make all the difference.
Yeah, for sure. That's, I mean, I think that's the biggest piece right there. It's often hard to see what we don't see. And when we've been in, especially relationships that we've been in for a long time, we, you know, we're in certain kinds of habits of relating to each other, right? But also we don't take the time, I guess I should speak for myself, but I know there's others too, that we're so busy doing life that we're not really taking the time on either side to know how we're really feeling about the conversation. And I think that's probably where we, like, things compound, right? And pretty soon there's like nothing that anybody can say that feels good because you haven't worked through all of those other things that have now built up and you have like this dam or something, right? Like this big thing happening.
Well, that's the emotional bankruptcy. That's the relational bankruptcy, is when we are in relational debt because the negativity has, the pattern has been created. The ball is rolling. The momentum has been gained. And so, yeah, that's where we got to double down. Even if it's just one party in the relationship to say, striving for zero negativity, and I'm going to do everything I can to see the positive in this relationship and share it.
And then, so when you're working with people, are you mostly working with one person at a time? Are you doing more team kind of stuff? Are you doing couple kind of stuff? What is that? Or is it just across the board?
Yeah. So I teach workshops, safe conversations workshops, and those are open to the public in group settings. So I have individuals who join who want to learn healthier communication, I have couples, I have teams, whomever would like to join to learn the skills, it's open. I do have companies bring me in to teach the conversations and facilitate conversations between colleagues. So I do that. And then for those really nuanced relationships, so folks who've already learned the tools, but they're looking for something that can, or someone to support them navigate a challenging time or a very nuanced relationship, that's where my one-on-one private coaching comes into play.
Yeah, I think those are great strategies for people. Pretty simple in theory. Take a little more time and practice for application, probably for most of us, for that striving for zero negativity and building up those affirmations in our relationships, no matter where those relationships are. And yeah, and I also did a little bit to your free guide. So I'd love if you want to describe that a little more and what people can hope to get from that if they choose to download it.
Yeah. So it's the 30-day path to zero negativity. It's from Safe Conversations. It's a really great guide that's going to support you in, first of all, pledging. First of all, understanding what negativity is to begin with, and then pledging to commit to yourself and to those around you to a practice of zero negativity for 30 days, and has a really great step-by-step guide to support you in creating healthier relationships by refraining from as much negativity as possible. And so you can find that freebie at stresslessco.com/zero negativity. With stresslessco.com/zero negativity.
Yeah. And we'll have all of your links in the show notes and have that description in there for listeners as well. So they'll know how to grab it and how they can benefit from it. And I've loved this conversation. It's been, you know, it's been like really valuable for me personally, as well as I'm sure all of the listeners are going to get a great, you know, return on their investment for their time listening to this episode, because it's just so important to get back into that connection piece with the people that we are with. Is there anything else? Yeah. And if you had any last comments or anything you would like to say before we close out the show for today?
Sure. You made a comment about it not necessarily being easy. So I'll make the joke. You know, I said it's simple, but I never said it was easy. But I've got your back. And I'll say for the folks who maybe are finding themselves in a challenging relationship, whether it's with their boss, with their staff, with their partner, with their bestie, with their sister, that this is normal, completely normal, part of life. And just because it's normal doesn't mean that it has to be this way. And you've listened to this episode, you know what to do to create a change. Oh, and one other thing you mentioned, Joni, that reminded me of another little nugget from my own life, which is a quote that says, the opposite of depression is hope. And so if any of our listeners or your listeners are finding themselves in a place where they're just down and out, know that there is hope, and the possibility of all being well is at your fingertips.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And you know, that piece of hope and how you explain that right there is just really the invitation to make a decision, right? To do it differently. And I find anytime anybody makes the decision to do it differently, that makes the ease with the process so much better, right? Like you're just so, stuff will just start coming in for you to see how that's making a change and impact in your life.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Carly. And again, all your links and things will be in the show notes. And to all our listeners, thanks for joining us today and walking down this path of how to improve your relationships and have healthier relationships, really. And we'll catch you next week on the Creating Flow podcast. So amazing. You've reached the end of another episode of Creating Flow, and I want you to know I appreciate your presence and to remind you knowledge is powerful, but taking action is transformative. I invite you to take the next step to activate your full potential today by scheduling a complimentary 15-minute session with me, a no-obligation chat to identify the messages your body is sending you and how I can not only help you understand these messages, but teach you how to heal your body in order to have an abundance of health and energy in your life and business. Visit the link in the show notes to book a call, and I'll see you next week.